For our Bible study this morning, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's begin reading at verse 16. Peter says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables." That is, the gospel is not a fictitious story. It's not a fable. The gospel is fact. "When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory," that is, from heaven. Remember, God spoke out of heaven, said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." This voice which came from heaven, we've heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And then He says in verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at any time, or in olden time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Now in these few verses here, from verse 16 down through verse 21, we have a threefold witness of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there is a rule laid down in Holy Scripture. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 19, it says this, "At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established." Now, this is a rule that's laid down in Holy Scripture. For something to be counted as fact and not fiction, it must be established on the principle of these witnesses. And this is exactly the method that Peter employs in his inspired epistle given to these believers. Peter says, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables." And then he proceeds to give us a threefold witness of the true gospel of God's grace to prove to us that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ certainly is fact and not fiction. And we're not following fables, Peter says. We're following the truth of God. Now, there's a threefold witness given here. Let me give you these 3 points and we'll come back and look at them. The first one is the witness of the apostles. He says, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty." And then we have, secondly, the witness of the Father, for He received from God the Father honor and glory. And then thirdly, the witness of the prophets. He said, "We have a most sure word of prophecy." The prophets spoke by the power of God, not by the will of men. Now let's go back and look at these 3 points this morning and see the threefold witness that Peter lays down here in his epistle. Peter and the other apostles, here's the witness of the apostles. He said, "We were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Peter and the other apostles clearly witnessed these 3 things that we read in this verse: the power, the coming, and the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the apostles, you go all through the epistles and read the book of Acts, all the apostles of the past preached and declared the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, and they presented Him and they preached Him as the Almighty God, the power of God. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation." He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. Peter says, "We've not followed these fables. We were eyewitnesses of His power." Now, they saw His miracles. They saw the effect of His preaching that it had on people. And they preached the very power of God in Christ. They witnessed not only His power, but they witnessed His coming. They were eyewitnesses of His first coming. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them. They witnessed His first coming and they declared His second coming. Peter said, "He's coming again. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, looking for that hasting unto the coming of the day of our God, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. They preached the power of Christ, the coming of Christ, and then thirdly, they preached this. They also witnessed His majesty. Now that word there means His deity. His deity. God. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's God manifest in the flesh. They witnessed His majesty, His magnificence. And that's what the word there, majesty, means. His great splendor, His magnificence. He's the only wise God, our Savior, Jude says, unto whom be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. You see their witness? His power, His coming, His majesty, that's His deity, His magnificence, and His great splendor. His great splendor. We read in the book of Hebrews, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That's the witness of the apostles. Now, secondly, here's the second point. We see the witness from God the Father. We read in verse 17 of our text, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, saying, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, this is the declaration of God the Father when He spoke out of the cloud on the Mount of Transfiguration. And God the Father declares, all honor and all glory rightly and naturally and sovereignly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to receive all honor, glory, and blessing. This is the declaration of God. This is My beloved Son, hear Him. God is well pleased with His Son. We read in Isaiah 42, He said, behold, My servant whom I uphold, Mine elect, in whom My soul delighteth. God is well pleased with Christ in all of His office capacity. There's one God and only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is that prophet of God that God was well pleased with, who spoke all the mind of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is that priest that God Almighty is well pleased with, that priest of God who redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The priest of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He brought the suitable sacrifice, not the blood of bulls and goats, but His own blood, and He obtained eternal redemption for us. God is well pleased with His Son in all of His office capacity as prophet, priest, and He's our King. He rules and reigns over all things absolutely, infinitely, and wisely. God is well pleased with His Son, and God is also well pleased with those in His Son and with those only in His Son. You see, salvation. I've told you so many times over these years on this broadcast that salvation is not in a church or a profession. Salvation is in a person. It's knowing the living God in Christ. In Him we are totally accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. He that hath the Son hath life. In Him we're completely justified, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Him we are eternally made righteous. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You got the first two points? There's the witness of the apostles. They said we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And we have the witness here of God the Father. All honor and glory, God said, belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm pleased with Him. And then thirdly, here's the third witness. The witness of the prophets. We read in the text here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, we have also a most sure word of prophecy. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means no Scripture is by human or comes from human origin. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, driven by God the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter lays down another strong and convincing proof that the gospel is fact, not fiction. All the prophets of the past, from Moses to Malachi, gave witness to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what Isaiah said? Unto us a child is born, a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They gave witness to his sacrifice. Isaiah again said in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. All the prophets of the past, from Moses to Malachi, all the Old Testament prophets, gave witness, clear testimony to the birth, the coming, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says this in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to him give all the prophets witness. Our Lord died for our sins according to the Scripture. We have a sure word of prophecy from God. Everything we see the Lord accomplishing in our salvation that's recorded in the New Testament was promised by the sure word of the Old Testament prophets. Search the Scriptures and see. He says, take heed. Make it your urgent business to find out who and what this book teaches. The message of the Old Testament is one thing. Someone's coming. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what the Lord says. In Luke chapter 24, the Lord had been raised from the dead, and He joins Himself to two men who's walking on the road to Emmaus. And listen to what He says about these Old Testament prophets and what they wrote about. And He said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses, that's way back in Genesis, and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. All the Old Testament prophets had one clear, single message. The Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. Our Lord told those Jews one day, He said, you search the Scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they. The Scriptures testify of me. All Scripture is God-given, God-breathed. All through the Old Testament Scripture, the Lord is spoken of in type, picture, and shadow. No prophecy of Holy Scripture is of the opinion and revelation and mind of sinful men, but rather it's a revelation of the mind of God. We believe its truth, we receive its doctrine, we submit to its ordinances, and we rejoice in the revelation of Christ, and we rest in the blessed promises of Holy Scripture. That's what it says here. The prophecy came not in old time, at any time, by the will of man, but holy men. That is, they're holy in Christ. They're justified in Christ. They spoke as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit. The Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, are God-given, God-breathed. And they give unto us a clear testimony of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel. There's just one gospel. It's the gospel of His grace, the gospel of His glory, and the gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this Scripture in Romans 15. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God has ordained His Word as a means to communicate faith. Faith comes by the Word, by the hearing of the Word, to communicate life. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. And it's the very mean God has ordained to give us hope, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now this is a threefold witness that Peter gives of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The witness of the apostles, the witness of God the Father, and the witness of the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And they all agree, and they say one thing, that salvation is of the Lord, and salvation is found in, and only in, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, to listen again, or to share it with a friend or family member, you can call me at 631-9053, or you can write to me at Church 6088, Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.